The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Week 13 of the NFL season is in the books. Conference championships in college football are set, and it's December. How in the world did it get to be December? I know, it's a rhetorical question and probably a dumb one. When your kindergarten teacher told you there was no such thing as a stupid question, she was lying. I mean, she was lying just to protect your feelings, but she was not telling you the truth. So yes, there are obvious answers. Duh. How did it get to be December? But still, that doesn't explain how quickly this year passed by and the fact that we left you in November and we return in December. You know what, though? In honor of the final month of the calendar and in honor of what's happening this month of December, namely the holidays, Christmas, and then New Year's Eve, and we flip the calendar to a new year. Also in honor of those people like me who adore snow, and I mean, I love snow. I pray for snow. The game in Orchard Park, Sunday Night Football. Week 13 of the NFL season. The Bills, the Niners, clear that the Buffalo Bills, and no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, that they are far more equipped to play in what was essentially blizzard-like conditions for a good portion of this game. Amazing snow falling. Lake effect snow. For those of you who are not familiar, it has to do with the large body of water that is just north of Buffalo, just north and all kinds of up in its grill, if you know what I mean. There's no personal space when it comes to Buffalo and the lake effect. I can't help it. I love it. So there was a lake effect snow warning that was issued for some of these New York counties. And in Western New York, you saw just as the game started, parts of this area, the Great Lakes region, more than 4 feet of snow. And think about the number of people that were traveling home or that were traveling, period, in these areas. Some places exceeding the 4 foot mark on Sunday, like Copenhagen, New York. Are you ready for this? 58.8 inches of snow. You guys, that's nearly 5 feet of snow by Sunday night, according to the National Weather Service. So you're talking, and this is where the lake effect hits a lot. Western New York, Northeast Ohio, Northwestern Pennsylvania. Lots of cold as well, which means the snow is unlikely to melt. So you think about Western New York and where it's positioned. If not, go check out a map. It's very different than New York City where we are headquarters are located. And a lot of the guys, even the broadcasters on Sunday Night Football, were saying, hey, we expected it to snow. We expected to have to shovel. We expected this to be a football game in the elements. We did not expect this. And yet the Bills are equipped. A first in many ways for the Buffalo Bills as they host the San Francisco 49ers on this Sunday night. Now, not quite the same type of football weekend we're used to because we had four games before we ever got to Sunday. By the way, have you noticed that Kyle Shanahan is developing a lot more gray hair these days? This season is really weighing on him. We'll get to that coming up. It went from bad to worse for the Niners in the first quarter of the game on Sunday. And so this particular weekend started back on Thursday. How many of you were eating your Thanksgiving meal? Or in producer Pete's case, they were doing Thanksgiving brunch with one side of the family. How many of you were doing Thanksgiving meal at the same time the Lions and Bears were kicking off week 13? Yet another win for the Lions. Not that that is the surprising part. And I'm not even sure it's surprising that Matt Eberflus was fired before a lot of the leftovers were cleaned up on Thursday, Friday. But the fact that the Bears looked so inept on national TV on Thanksgiving Day was enough. Six losses in a row. We had just spoken to David Haw of our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score, going back to last week, just talking about the changes that needed to happen with the Bears. And he started with the coaching staff fairly expected, fairly common knowledge that Eberflus wasn't likely to survive this season. And after that loss and the way the final minute played out, why wait? So the Lions win their 10th game in a row, and they are tied for best record in the NFL with the Chiefs, who also needed a fairly epic collapse, fairly epic mistakes by the Raiders in their final possession for the Chiefs to once again skate by with a win. They do not blow teams out. That's what we know about these Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs. So both teams 11 and 1, but here's the difference. The Chiefs, while not blowing teams out, surviving by the hair on their chinny chin chins, they have already clinched a playoff spot. So they become the first team in 2024 to clinch a playoff spot. We also have some teams that are officially eliminated. That includes the Raiders, includes the Giants, who fell to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. So we've got those two teams at 11-1. We've got the Eagles, who moved to 10-2. And the Buffalo Bills, who gave us a show to remember on the first night of December. Ooh, that rhymes. I like it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. If you're still on your way home, if you're still traveling, navigating what is one of the busiest travel days of the entire year with record numbers of Americans on the move for this Thanksgiving, well, we're here to keep you company. You can find me online at A-Law Radio. If you missed our newest YouTube video, it has a decided Thanksgiving flair. It was really us being goofy. Thanksgiving or not. Food. It's all about the food. So you can find us there or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's also how you can find our YouTube channel. It's December. Producer Pete, it's December. Whoa. I know. I'm flabbergasted by that.
It hit you right in the teeth. I thought we just got over Halloween. And now we're in December.
Most of the homes in my neighborhood are decorated for Christmas. I haven't even taken my pumpkins and put them away yet. Fake ones, not real ones. My fall decor is still out, though I hope to rectify that this weekend. But yeah, it's been quite the week. And I'm so thankful to have had many of you share kind words and encouragement and support on social. I appreciate that so much. It's nice to hear or to see that you all are thankful for our show. So I appreciate you. And I'm grateful for what we've built here on After Hours over the last 12 years, even as we head into this final month. By the time we get to New Year's Eve, it'll be exactly 12 years on this network and in this studio. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We did not have an After Hours game of the week because we weren't here to put up the poll. I dare say Eagles-Ravens likely would have won that dubious honor. However, Bills and Niners might have given that matchup a run for its money. Because the Bills are on quite a roll, because the Bills could clinch not just a playoff spot, but another division title, and maybe because there was snow expected in the forecast, for all of those reasons, this certainly a game that people would have circled. Now, the Niners, they are a mess. Not only do they have a ton of injuries, not only do they have guys who are gone for the season, but they also have a Brock Purdy who, with all the changes around him, has not been nearly as good. I have no doubt that the Niners fully intend to keep him as their starting quarterback. They're going to sign him to an extension. But it's interesting to think about the going rate for starting QBs right now, which is essentially $60 million for quarterbacks that you want to keep. I mean, think about Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott didn't even last the season after getting that contract from the Cowboys to start the year. And you wonder if they have buyer's remorse. The issue is, of course, that wasn't intended to be a rhyme. The issue is that it's the devil you know or the devil you don't know. A lot of teams have found success with rookie QBs or young QBs they've most recently drafted. So last few years, even Bryce Young is starting to come around with better coaching. So if the Cowboys hadn't signed Dak Prescott, where were they going to find another QB? Okay, so that's the big question. But regardless, getting back to Brock Purdy, the Niners are likely going to have to pay him in the neighborhood of $60 million per year. Do they still want him as their QB? Yes. Has this been a year where he struggled a little bit more with his accuracy, with his turnovers? Absolutely. But you think about the changing pieces around him. Just the fourth game for Christian McCaffrey since he returned from that Achilles tendonitis and that it turned into a bit of a calf injury as well. And he doesn't even make it through the first half of this one. And it's unfortunate because he started out with a couple of long runs in the snow. In fact, his 19-yard run, his 18-yard run, these were the two longest runs of the season for McCaffrey. And according to Christian himself, he was finally feeling more like a guy who was ready, who was in condition, who was good to go for the remainder of the season. He really did look poised. I saw a lot of people on social talking about how Christian McCaffrey was having no trouble with the snow. And you wouldn't have known it, except early in the second quarter, he takes a pitch, he runs around to the right, and as he kind of plants in the snow, he decides to slide. He goes down without contact, and right away pops up, limps off the field, heads straight into the blue tent. So for the first quarter plus, this was the Christian McCaffrey that the Niners traded for, that they paid. But when he got injured, yeah, just another hit for Kyle Shanahan and San Francisco.
He had a great week of practice, and I could feel his urgency and stuff, and thought he came out great, looking real good, and it looked like he just got his shoestring there. He's about to break a house call, and I'm guessing he got hurt on that play. I don't know. I never got to talk to him, but, you know, hurt for him, and tough for our team not having him.
He was ruled out at halftime. He did not come back. And while the Niners struggled from that point on, multiple turnovers, inability to capitalize in the red zone, the Buffalo Bills were quite literally having a field day.
Bunch formation on the right, including sixth offensive lineman Alec Anderson. Handoff goes to Davis, going to bounce it outside, race to the pylon, and he dives into the end zone for a five-yard touchdown run. Ray Davis with clear sailing to the end zone as Buffalo is on the board with the lead. James Cook, the lone setback with Allen under center. Two receivers tight to the formation on the right, one to the left. Here's the handoff to Cook. Through a hole and away and into the secondary. 40, 30, 20. They're not going to get him. James Cook goes 65 yards for a touchdown. Unbelievable.
Chris Brown with the call on Bills Radio, part of three straight first half touchdown drives for the Bills. And a couple of things about that James Cook run that goes 65 yards. First of all, longest run of his entire career. Now, he's into his third season, so he's still under a rookie deal. But longest touchdown run, longest run of his NFL career. Second thing, do you know that before the season began, James Cook had four total rushing touchdowns? He now has 11 on the season. And last year, while he was over 1,100 yards rushing, he just had the two scores. He had more fumbles last year than he did touchdowns. This season, 700 plus yards, 11 touchdowns. This is exactly what the Bills needed to complement their offense this season. The number of times in my career covering the Buffalo Bills, talking about Josh Allen and the Bills, in which I have said over and over ad nauseum, when Josh Allen is their leading rusher, it's not a great formula for success. Yes, he can do it. Should he be doing it? No. James Cook, exactly what the Bills needed with so many veteran pieces moving on in the offseason, with a lot of changes on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, without having a number one receiver until Amari Cooper comes along. This is what the Bills needed from James Cook. This is what the Bills needed for their offense, and he has been terrific. Late in that first half, this kind of shows you how comfortable even the guys that aren't familiar with snow or haven't played a lot in the snow, this shows you how comfortable the guy who's calling the shots, the guy who's delivering the football, and of course the Bills themselves recognizing this was their opportunity to take command. A 97-yard drive in blizzard-like conditions.
Third and goal from the 7. Back to pass, has time, looks, fires to the right corner to Mac Hollins, who pulls it in for the 7-yard touchdown reception. Barefoot is beautiful. 41 seconds left in the half, and the Bills have a 20-3 lead.
Already overwhelming the Niners at that point, and they really didn't seem to have a whole lot of trouble with footing. I give the Bills grounds crew, the stadium crew, a lot of credit because they did their best to keep the white lines shoveled out, and they were working double time. I think one moment, though, that I noticed that jumped out at me that would indicate, yeah, this is still treacherous, not just the Christian McCaffrey injury. But did you see after Cook's touchdown run, he's barreling into the end zone. He gets beyond the pylon, beyond the end zone. So those 10 yards of the end zone and then kind of underneath the goalpost, if you will. And then he starts gingerly like tiptoeing. As he's putting on the brakes, he's really careful as he tries to turn the corner and run toward the left underneath the goalpost. So it obviously was slippery footing, and yet the Bills were aggressive and they were all gas, no brakes despite the snow. I thought it was a terrific performance from them. This is the Bills when they're at their best. Really taking the bill by the horns and making sure that they're dictating pace, they're dictating play. And against the Niners, who still don't have Nick Bosa, Bills able to rush for 220 yards. 220 yards. Now, if you missed it, don't worry. the internet preserves all. But if you missed it, Josh Allen with the TD trifecta in this one. So we just heard him pass for a touchdown to Mac Hollins late in the first half. After the break, he not only runs for a touchdown, which we've seen before, he catches a touchdown in what is one of the highlights of the year, no doubt. So the Bills usher in the month of December with a win, a division title, and an exclamation point in the snow. Sunday night, week 13. So we'll get to the rest of it. You'll hear from not just Josh, but also Sean McDermott inside the Bills locker room. We're glad to have you with us. You can find me on Twix at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. I know it's weird, right? We haven't connected for 4 or 5 days, but we're back in the flow now as we enter the month of December. I know I'm going to keep saying it. I'm just, the more I say it, maybe the more real it becomes. Thanks so much for, not only for supporting the show, but also for coming back to us for your football coverage. And this is one of our favorite shows of the entire year, right? But definitely of the week is when we get to do these shows on Sunday nights, especially after such a busy weekend that was one of the best football weekends. It was more like a week. We stretched it out of the year. So happy belated Thanksgiving to you. I hope you enjoyed your time with family, friends, food, fun, football. And we're raring to go here as we enter a new month. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Give it to the up-back. Juszczyk threw a hole. The ball's loose. It's fumbled at the 5, and it's picked up and coming the other way is Christian Benford. 45, 50, and he's forced out of bounds. Brock Purdy was the one that knocked him out. It's a turnover for Buffalo.
Thought we had a chance like last week opening up with a big kickoff. This one didn't have a penalty, and then fumbling on the 1 was tough. Fumbling on the 1, then they led it to points, they made it 28-3 fast, and we got back in it with 28-10, but then we had 2 more turnovers after that, which got none. So playing in those conditions, us having 3, them having 0, the way they ran the ball made it real tough.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Kyle Shanahan is definitely sporting more gray hair through the first 13 weeks of the NFL season as the Niners now are watching a playoff spot even become, I wouldn't say an impossibility, because the way the NFC is stacked, you put together a few more wins. Maybe you win out. I mean, it could be very difficult without Christian McCaffrey. But now sitting at 5-7, they've dropped 3 in a row. And so their season is on life support. Even those who cover the team are talking about how the end is near. Bottom of the NFC West, and Shanahan laments not just their inability to capitalize in the red zone, going 1-for-3, but also 3 turnovers, all fumbles, where the Bills played a clean game of football. The calls with Chris Brown on Bills radio, Kyle Juszczyk, he is headed for the end zone when the ball gets punch free on the 1 yard line. And that really epitomizes a lot of what's happened this year for the Niners in a nutshell, if you will. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's get back to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills and them having a blast in the snow in this game, and a moment you have to see to believe, and we may never see it again.
First and goal from the 7. Here's the snap. Allen back, fires left side. Cooper makes a one-handed catch, pitches it back to Allen. Allen racing, dives to the left pylon, and he's in. Touchdown, Bills! What a play! Allen threw it behind Cooper. He made a one-handed catch as he was falling to the ground. He pitched it back to Allen, and Allen went diving in. That's one of the best touchdowns you'll ever see. And the Bills have taken a 27-3 lead.
That was not by design. It's a slant to Amari Cooper. He was going down. He saw Josh Allen running past him, so he lateraled it back to him, and then Josh Allen like you've seen him do so often when airborne Superman for the pylon. What a touchdown.
I wish he got credited for something there, an assist or a passing touchdown. But, again, I kind of threw a bad ball, so I was just kind of chasing it. It was kind of tipped around. He made a heck of a catch. Yeah. I threw it. It was just kind of sticky hand. And I just kind of chased the ball just to be there. And we made eye contact. And
that's what it was, yeah.
He just pitched it. And I had to go make a play. It was dope.
I was wondering what he was doing over there. Like, that doesn't usually happen, like, when you throw, like, a dart route like that. I just saw him. I figured he was over there because he wanted the ball, so I gave it to him.
That's the reaction of Josh Allen and Amari Cooper postgame, and you can hear them sitting next to each other because Josh is kind of talking to Amari. Amari is responding even as they're going through the sequence of events. Producer Pete, he will retweet this incredible touchdown video from the Bills account. I've seen it. It's amazing. They're, of course, going crazy in Western New York. I've already seen tweets from people to me directly saying, I think we have our TD of the week winner. Yeah, it might actually be unanimous this year, or this week, I should say, this week 13. Though there were some other game-winning scores in the final 2 minutes. So this is a week in which we got a little bit of everything and some wild and wacky finishes. Yeah, as Josh passes to Amari Cooper, he gets wrapped up. So Amari kind of turns his back to protect the football. He's still driving as best as he can, but because he's got three defenders swarming him, as he turns his back to the goal line, he sees Josh Allen, who's essentially following his shot. You hear that a lot in basketball, where a shooter will fire off a deep shot or any kind of a shot, really. And it's the shooter who knows whether or not that ball's going in most of the time, and also knows where's the best spot to get the rebound. A lot of times, because of the number of shots a player has taken, an athlete has taken, they can tell based on how they shoot the ball. And if you follow your shot, you're in the best position to grab the rebound and put it back up and in. So I felt like this was Josh Allen following his shot. He didn't like how the ball came out of his hands. He didn't feel like he put Amari Cooper in the best position to succeed. Didn't think it was going to be a touchdown pass after he had delivered it. So what does he do? He follows along behind, to the point where Amari Cooper's wondering, what is he doing there? And kind of shovels it right back to him. Okay, so we've got a touchdown pass for Josh Allen. No joke, checks the box score. We've got a touchdown reception for Josh Allen, almost like he passed it to himself. And there was more after San Francisco's third fumble of the game.
Here's the snap. Allen back to pass, has time, steps up in the pocket, looks to tuck it and run. On his feet to the five and into the end zone. The Beast does it again. Josh Allen with his second rushing touchdown of the game. And the chance of MVP come up from the crowd as this one has been put to bed early.
Those guys embracing their roles, being ready to go week in and week out, practice squad players the same way. I think that's really, to me, what makes a good football team or just a good team overall.
Sean McDermott thrilled with his team. In fact, as he's doing a postgame interview in one of the end zones, Josh Allen is there, kind of walks by him, tries to change his hat. So they've got the AFC East Championship hats. Gives him a different hat and then invites him to do a snow angel on the field with him. Now, keep in mind, McDermott's just doing an interview. He's still wearing his headset, his wire, all of that, plops down into the snow, and he and Josh Allen do snow angels together. And there's great video of that as well. If you're checking out the Bills Twitter account, also, I know that I retweeted one video from inside the locker room, which you'll hear part of momentarily, but this was the 10th win of the season for the Buffalo Bills. They are perfect at home. The snow is their friend, and they didn't need to do a whole lot through the air. Josh, 13 for 17 with four total touchdowns. First quarterback in NFL history to have a passing TD, a rushing TD, and a receiving TD in the same game. 5 consecutive AFC East titles for these Buffalo Bills.
Everybody put your hand up right here, man. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row, division titles, man.
5 in a row.
And 7 out of 8 years in the playoffs, man, right? 7 out of 8 years. I'm going to tell you what, man. Cherish these moments because it doesn't happen every year. It doesn't happen everywhere. And cherish each other. Look to the man on your left. Tell him you love him, man. Tell him you love him, huh?
This one feels a little bit different. You know, this early in the season, we still got 5 games left. So the cool thing about it, like, you get to go out there, we get to go out there, and we get to play free, right? There's really no repercussions for what we're doing, but at the same time, we're chasing the one seed. We understand that, we know that, and we got to keep getting better each and every week. So, but it's going to be fun. I mean, to go out there and play free and play relaxed and play loose, I think that could be a dangerous team.
Well, they already look like that. And now having clinched the 2nd playoff spot in the AFC, still in line for the bye potentially, as well as that top seed, the home field advantage, all of those things, that all those perks that come along with being the best team in your conference, they are right there in lockstep with Kansas City. And the snow is just the cherry on top, if you will. Or maybe it's the whipped cream, the ready whip on your pumpkin pie. How many of you, I actually asked this question of my 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders on Sunday morning. How many of you had at least 2 desserts over Thanksgiving? Oh, hey, we had 3 in my house and there were only 4 people. The desserts are the best part, and this is the cherry on top of the Cool Whip, on top of the pumpkin pie, on top of the apple crisp, on top of whatever dessert your heart desires, because everything is better with Ready Whip or Cool Whip. The Bills become the 2nd team to clinch a playoff spot, but the 1st to lock up a division title, their 5th in a row. And the Snow Angels, you can see that at Amy After Hours. We have so much to get to on this edition of the show. Eagles and Ravens, the premier 2nd window game, the premier national game. I say 2nd window because it was really one of only 3 games that was taking place in that 2nd afternoon, that late afternoon window. But it was the one that people were wanting to see, I think, because of the potential playoff implications and needing the Eagles to go up against a tougher opponent than what they've had for most of their schedule this season. 855-212-4227 at ALOL Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football.
James Cook, the lone setback with Allen under center. 2 receivers tight to the formation on the right, 1 to the left. Here's the handoff to Cook. Through a hole and away and into the secondary. 40, 30, 20. They're not going to get him. James Cook goes 65 yards for a touchdown. Unbelievable.
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. Bills beat the Niners 35-10. Josh Allen and the Bills clinched their 5th straight AFC East title.
This one feels a little bit different. You know, this early in the season, we still got 5 games left. So the cool thing about it, like, you get to go out there, we get to go out there, and we get to play free, right? There's really no repercussions for what we're doing, but at the same time, we're chasing the 1 seed.
Allen threw 2 touchdown passes and also had a touchdown run. James Cook with a 65-yard touchdown run. For the Niners, running back Christian McCaffrey left the game with a potentially season-ending PCL injury. Elsewhere, Eagles over the Ravens 24-19, Rams 21, Saints 14. In overtime, the Bucs over the Panthers 26-23, Commanders 42, Titans 19, the Seahawks over the Jets 26-21, Colts 25, Patriots 24, Vikings over the Cardinals 23-22, Texans 23, Jaguars 20, the Chargers over the Falcons 17-13, and the Steelers beat the Bengals 44-38. NBA, the Clippers beat the Nuggets 126-122, James Harden 29 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, Lakers over the Jazz 105-104. Anthony Davis, 33 points, 27 for LeBron. The Cavs improved to 18-3, beat the Celtics 115-111. Knicks over the Pelicans 118-85. College basketball, number 22 Xavier over South Carolina State 46-43. From baseball, the Mets and pitcher Frankie Montas reportedly agree on a two-year, $34 million deal. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Meyer set to kick it deep. Juan Wu and Gibson back deep to receive, and Juan Wu will take it from the one-yard line. Runs it out to the 15 to the 20. Breaks a couple of tackles. Loose at the 35-40. Wanwu left sideline 50. He's at the 40. Gets a block.
He's got it.
At the 20. At the 10. 5. Touchdown. That's a Jet touchdown. Kenny Wanwu takes it the distance. Welcome to the Jets. And they've got a two-score lead back.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
I know, you're wondering, is that a mistake? Because that's not a highlight from the Eagles and the Ravens. I decided we need more time at the top of the hour to talk about Philadelphia and Baltimore because it features two of the top MVP candidates, actually three of the MVP candidates in the NFL, including the top two rushers in the game, and many implications for both the Eagles and the Ravens in the wake of this one on Sunday afternoon. Instead, as we were talking about the Niners, easy spot for us to work to the Seattle Seahawks in that same NFC West division. And this game was on the road for Seattle, opposite coast, opposite end of the United States, at MetLife Stadium, but a place familiar to some of those who are on the Seahawks roster. We'll get to that coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. At some point over the next hour-ish, we'll have your candidates for Monday MVP. So all of our polls originate from our show, Twix, at Amy After Hours, as well as our Facebook page. This game between Seahawks and Jets had an inordinate number of plays from special teams that changed momentum, snatched momentum away from one club and gave it to another. Really, special teams were special, extra special, and playing a major role in this one. The Jets grab the early lead with touchdowns on three consecutive drives, but there's a missed point after attempt for the Jets. Then there's a short field after Seattle fumbles a kickoff. That leads to an Isaiah Davis touchdown reception from Aaron Rodgers. But then New York goes up 21-7 after this 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown from Wanwu. And you hear that to start this segment with Bob Wischusen, the voice of the New York Jets. As if that wasn't enough, Seattle fumbles another kickoff, the second one of the game, but New York then gives it right back as well as the momentum.
Third down and 7 from the Seattle 9. Ball stays in the backfield. Again, three receivers near side. Adams is slotted on the right. Blitz is coming. Throw inside. It's picked off. Leo Williams coming near side. He's running like a racehorse. He's at midfield. Turns upfield. Has blockers. Holy smokes, are you kidding? Leo Williams is going to take it in for a touchdown. Seahawks. The Seahawks mess up a kick return. They dump it on the defense, and Leo Williams says, I got you covered. Picks it off as he drops back into coverage. Comes up the near sidelines in front of the bench, picks up blockers, and takes it all the way in for a touchdown. Are you kidding me? 21-13, and Williams is going to do it any way he can to help his team win.
Steve Rabel with the extended call on the Seahawks radio network. They call him Leo when he was a Jet and a Giant. He was known as Leonard. And the Jets and the Giants fans, they remember him well. He played a bunch of home games at MetLife Stadium, certainly comfortable there. What a moment for the former Jet, Leonard Williams, who catches a tipped ball and rumbles 95 yards, though 92 officially for the score, 92 yards with the pick six off Aaron Rodgers for what is his first career touchdown. And I know our crack newsroom is efforting Leonard Williams' reaction. I've heard it actually on Westwood One, so I know it's out there. But what a moment for him, and really changes the momentum there. Despite all of the special teams gaffes, despite the miscues and mistakes by the Seahawks to that point in the game, it was not a first half that they would want to remember, not a December to remember. But with that red zone turnover, the Jets hand the momentum to the Seahawks. And as New York goes scoreless in the second half, as the Seattle defense dominates that second half, it felt like the Seahawks got more and more confident with every minute that went by. New York faced 8 snaps inside the 4-yard line at one point, though, and doesn't give up a touchdown. There's a Quincy Williams sack on its last attempt, on their last attempt of those 8. And so you had the Seattle defense standing up, the New York defense doing everything it possibly could to preserve an opportunity for the Jets. But Seattle is able to take the ball away from Breece Hall, so you get another turnover by New York. That leads to a field goal and the lead, or I shouldn't say the lead, that leads to the field goal, and now they're just trailing by 2 points. The lead comes after a 71-yard drive. And again, for the Jets defense, they do all they can. At some point, they're exhausted, and they just can't do it all. The offense has to give something, anything toward a win.
Third down and 1. Geno turns, hands to Charbonnet. He's going to take it in. Touchdown, Seahawks. Finally, and a flag is down against the Jets because somebody just pushed Charbonnet after he crossed the goal line at the back of the end zone. So that's going to be 15 on the kick. But more importantly, from 8 yards out, the Seahawks take it in, and a couple of the players have to sort of be separated. DK was not happy with what he saw happen in the end zone, and another flag comes flying. And somebody's losing their cool, and I think it might be the Jets, but of way more importance, touchdown Seahawks from 8 yards out. Seattle takes a 25-21 lead.
I mean, that first half was definitely a little crazy, but, you know, I thought we did a great job at weathering the storm. You know, Coach McDonald talked to us about, you know, really just locking in and banding together, you know, for the rest of the season. I thought today was an example of that. You know, when things were kind of going haywire, I thought guys pulled together. There was great leadership on the sidelines, and then Leo made the play that really turned the game, and from there, you know, we were in the game and found a way to get it done.
Man, what a crazy game. I think that, like, the first time ever that ever happened in the NFL, like the whole series of events in the first half. But our, you know, our guys are resilient. We didn't bat an eye. We stayed, you know, stayed the course.
Mike McDonald has got his team on the right track now. And the defense, the special teams, they're able to band together. The offense comes up with a couple of late touchdowns, which is huge. Well, actually, the one to Charbonnet, the fact that that was a 71-yard drive with all the pressure on, I think is emblematic of this team's growing and coming together and trying to build a winning culture. 3 straight wins for the Seahawks, who stand on top of the NFC West at 7-5, only team in that division with a winning record. The Cardinals are 6-6, having dropped back-to-back games. Now, as for the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers turns 41. 41 on Monday. So I'm not sure it's a happy birthday for Aaron Rodgers. One of the worst games of the season. And Jeff Ulbrich, it wasn't confirming his status as a starter following this game. Now, you remember the reports that came out last week, or I guess right about the time that Joe Douglas was fired, that the owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, suggested benching Rodgers in week 4. And he was kind of poo-pooed and laughed at, and people sneered at the idea. Well, I don't know if it becomes a possibility, but it's clear the Jets are just about ready to move on from Rodgers.
In 18, there was a possibility for sure. You know, in 05, when I was a backup, we were, you know, 3 and a lot multiple times and didn't make a change. Didn't make a change in 18 either. But, yeah, you know, I'll have a conversation with Brick if that's, you know, what he's thinking.
Right now, it's hypothetical. And so Rodgers is responding and saying, it's been part of my past, and okay, I'll deal with it. I'll talk to our interim head coach. But right now, everyone is on thin ice. So yeah, happy birthday to Aaron Rodgers. About to turn 41 years old, and this season, I dare say, is maybe just as bad as last year. I know he'd rather be out there than not. But do you remember when people were saying the Jets were a Super Bowl favorite? The Jets were the favorite to win the AFC East. Now the Bills have clinched the division. The Jets are a disaster, and Rodgers is on the way out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.